Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Favorite Run DMC. Well done, John. That's good stuff. Joining us now, we always like to bring him on with a little bit of old school rap, Alex Andrade, because that's his jam, baby. State representative for District 2, the waterfront areas of both counties and the southern third or so of Escambia County. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. I'm happy to be back home today.
Are we in the sweet spot for you musically, or do we still need to, you know, tweak a little bit?
Man, We haven't talked about this since I first got elected like 6 years ago. But when I was talking about old school rap, I'm in my early 30s. I was talking about Lil Wayne.
Old school rap means different things to a millennial and a Gen Xer. Okay, all right. You've bit your tongue this whole time and thought, well, Andrew's trying to do a nice thing. Bless his heart.
I haven't had the heart.
All right, it's Carly Simon forever now. So you will be punished for that, youngster. Oh, that's funny. Oh, I hate that I asked. I'm glad I asked. You only learn when you're wrong when you ask questions, right? stuff you've been working on this week. What have you been working on? Guy with the biggest financial budget responsibilities in the state.
So this week was we had a committee meeting. We invited representatives from the Agency for Healthcare Administration, which is the agency that controls our $30 billion plus Medicaid budget.
ACCA, as people often hear of it, ACCA. Go on.
Yep. And then the Agency for Persons with Disabilities, or APD, which administers the Medicaid program known as the iBudget Waiver, which is our Medicaid program for people with disabilities who may need specialized programs and a specialized care plan based on their own individual specific needs. So there were two main issues that were going on. One was a cultural issue at ACCA. That cultural issue resulted in the just disappearance of $160 million. And when I say disappearance of $160 million, I don't mean theft. I mean just they put it in the wrong bank account and they spent the money. And we found out that this $30 billion program, they only do reconciliations once a year. And
by the way, John, the accountant, my producer, just about threw up when he heard that. Like, he just can't believe a $30 billion budget and they reconcile their books. How often?
Once a year. And that's how $160 million can get lost in a year. Because it might sound surprising to some folks, but yeah, this agency, they put in the wrong bank account and they spent the money. This was money that's supposed to go to pay a federal fine, to CMS, the federal entity that is Medicaid and Medicare.
Yeah.
It was supposed to go to pay a fine. Instead, it went to their trust fund and was used as cash flow. So now they have to ask for $160 million more from the legislature to actually pay the fine.
John cannot believe what you're saying right now. He just cannot believe this. How often should they reconcile their books if they were doing it properly?
From my perspective, at least monthly. They've now gone to reconciling it monthly. I mean, you could justify because of the amount of money going in and out constantly. You could justify doing it weekly or maybe daily is too much. I don't know. But, like, you could probably justify doing it weekly given the amount of money that goes in and out of that agency. So at least they're going to do it 12 times as often as they did it when they lost $160 million.
Amazing.
But the other issue is APD. We have a wait list of people that need services, that need specialized services, and they have disabilities. That wait list amounts to about 22,000 people on this wait list currently. And we've been shoveling money to APD for years. For the past 5 years, we've given an average of $88 million to APD for the sole purpose of pulling people off of that wait list and getting them the care plan designed they need to qualify for this program called the iBudget Waiver, which is a Medicaid program just designed for people with specialized needs. $88 million a year average, Andrew. Guess how much APD is asking us right now, telling us they have left over the past several years, and they're asking us to revert and reappropriate to them for the next coming year.
I hesitate to speculate.
$360 million.
What? So that's like four and a half years of budget.
So, correct. And so that's what we were trying to get a handle on this week was we are giving you this money to pull people off of this wait list, people who are desperately in need of these services. What have you been doing with the money? It costs approximately $57,000 per individual to pull someone off the wait list and get them the management care plan design that they need to qualify for this iBudget waiver program. $57,000 on average, that's how much it costs to pull somebody off.
So that's like roughly in the vicinity of 1,400, 1,500 people a year that you budget for?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all right. And yet our wait list continues to grow, and APD has $360 million just sitting in a bank account that they are now asking us to return to them for another year. So getting to the bottom of that has also been an issue. While it was a respectful and professional meeting, at the end of the meeting, members of my committee did ask that both ACCA and APD come back next week so we can continue the discussion and have some follow-up discussions. And I anticipate we'll have a lot of follow-up discussions for the rest of the year until the end of it, just because there has been some lack of oversight, and we need to reestablish exactly what that oversight looks like. And because when there's a failure in a system, the fault doesn't lie with any one particular person. I don't know if we could have prevented the loss of $160 million, because it's not like when we give it to when we as a legislature give money to an agency, we expect them to do with the money what we told them to do with the money. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's probably some fault to bear for the legislature, just for we haven't every year in and year out we haven't dove in, the way we could have to potentially have prevented the cultural issues that we're now seeing today.
Wow. Okay, we'll be back with Alex Andrade in just a second. State Representative of District 2, John Pickens, has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Alex Andrade. Alex, so I assume that you guys don't have the ability to hire, to fire. You only have to make recommendations. And it's hard to imagine a system that's that screwed up in an accounting sense that some people shouldn't be fired just to make a lesson of it. This is accountability. Somebody's got to own this problem. But just failing to do it better is enough reason to get rid of people. Are there going to be any terminations over all of this, or what do you think?
I think that there were some terminations within the agency, not just for any one specific act, but for what the secretary believed was mistakes or incompetence. The secretary at the time is now the governor's chief of staff. He's moved on from that role as of a month or two ago. So literally at the agency, at the top, four rungs of leadership, no one who was there last, say, January is still there. Other than the agency's chief of staff. And that's another... I think kind of problem with the culture over at ACCA has been, there has been a brain drain. There have been several positions that have gone unfilled for a very long time. And the turnover and the, lack of oversight, these mistakes happened.
Lack of positions filled, the governor's not doing his job to find people, to point people, or the hiring, or the people are not there because it's a competitive labor environment? What's the issue?
I think it's a combination, and if you ask three different people, they'll give you three different answers. But, okay. I mean, in the accounting department, in the accounts receivable and in that department, there's 45 positions. And they've been operating with 25 positions for a couple years. And a new leader got hired last October, and she immediately worked to go fill at least 12 of those missing 20 positions. So she saw the need immediately, and she was able to fill those. So I think it's, there's probably some cultural issues with, this is just how we've always done it. I'm going to show up to work. I'm going to do my 7 hours today, and I'm going to do my data input, and no one's actually sitting there thinking, am I being a good steward of taxpayer dollar? Am I following the legislative intent of am I actually meeting the legislative intent of our oversight requirements? Are we actually providing a good product to Floridians? And I think that's just kind of been lost.
Well, it's and it's a case, as you've explained it, where I actually had the exact backwards impulse, which is, firing people would just make the problem worse. If the problem is shortage of personnel, you can't fire people in a shortage. That's the issue that's causing the problem to begin with. So I appreciate you correcting me on that. Somebody asks, who's running APD right now? Is that a question that you have an answer for that makes sense to you?
Yeah. So the immediate prior Secretary Taylor Hatch, she was just appointed to lead DCF, Department of Children and Families. The head of DCF, Siobhan Harris, was just appointed to run ACCA. I could not tell you right now who the secretary at APD is, because their secretary was just appointed to DCF about a week ago.
Okay. Yeah, and the person who was asking is connected to Special Olympics, which that makes sense based on them being very curious about the situation. Wow. Okay. Just a quick question. This is getting a sense of your temperature, what you think. Obviously, the bill to reduce the age for gun purchasing from 21 to 18, Republicans keep running it. The House keeps supporting it. The Senate keeps saying no. In your just anticipating the future, should we expect this is going to pass the Senate this year and get signed by the governor, or is this going to be another year where it doesn't change? If you had to say.
I don't know. So I'm one of two people that got an A+ from the NRA last fall. It was like me and a colleague named Chuck Brannon. All I know is all I can control, which is I'll absolutely vote up on that. I've always believed, and Andrew, you know, because yep. We've talked about it at debates extensively. I do believe that an 18-year-old should be able to purchase a firearm like any other legal adult. And I have my very deeply well-reasoned reasons why. But I couldn't hazard a guess. All I know is what I control, and what I control is my own vote.
I understand. And, you know, I get that, too, and that's fine. You're not even in the Senate. I'm asking you to, you know, handicap the Senate, which is always a bit of a challenge. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for the information. My God, it's horrifying. but thank you for sharing it with us, and thank you for being there trying to maybe change things so that kind of stuff doesn't happen again so much in the future. And we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ever have one of those days where your gut just feels blah?
Ugh, yes.
Occasional bloating or gas could be signs that your gut is out of balance, but Align Probiotic can help. Align 24/7 Digestive Support is a daily use probiotic with a unique strain to help relieve occasional digestive issues. It's the number one doctor recommended brand. So when you feel the signs, it's time to try Align. Align Probiotic. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The East Coast Writers Association presents the Books by the Bay Festival Saturday downtown in Museum Plaza from 10 till 4. See booksbythebay.info for more. The Palafox Market is open Saturdays from 9 till 2 at both the Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza and Plaza Ferdinand. Check out items from talented vendors who grow, make, or create. See visitpensacola.com for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
These are not spirit fingers. These are spirit fingers. And these are gold.
Good morning, 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Legendary boxer George Foreman has died. His family said he passed away peacefully Friday at the age of 76, surrounded by loved ones. Foreman was a two-time heavyweight champion, also a gold medal Olympian. And salesman behind the lean, mean, fat grilling machine, too. That's all.
Did you ever own one of those?
Oh, yes. I've had several of them.
Wow. Yeah, nobody's owned just one. You've either owned zero or 40.
That's right.
Because they don't last, really, you know.
They did a great job on the things they were designed to do, though.
Can I tell you?
Yeah,
I've probably eaten food cooked on one, but I've never owned one.
Really?
Yeah. Just never caught it. Don't have an air fryer. You know, I don't get into exotic kitchen equipment. I've always had a shortage of kitchen space.
Huh.
And so I've never felt the need to spend money on such a thing or, you know, obviously nobody's ever gifted me one because they don't love
me
I
know what you're getting for Christmas.
No, sir. No. But what a sweet man.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. U.S. negotiators are holding Ukraine-Russia ceasefire talks in Saudi Arabia for now, focused on finalizing a ceasefire on strikes on energy infrastructure and protecting shipping in the Black Sea.
And from that, you'll naturally gravitate into a full-on shooting ceasefire.
U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff on Fox News Sunday. Second Lady Usha Vance and National Security Advisor Mike Waltz will be in Greenland Thursday. No mention in the statement from the White House about President Trump's goal of acquiring the country.
Her office says she'll be part of a delegation to visit historical sites, learn about Greenland's heritage, and attend Greenland's national dog sled race. President Trump has said many times that the U.S., not Denmark, should control Greenland for national security reasons.
Fox to Jill Nato. Former Utah Congresswoman Mia Love died, 49 years old. She had brain cancer. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got rainy conditions at 65 degrees here in Pensacola. Well, a fire at a vacant Pensacola home is being investigated as a possible arson. This happened on Sunday morning at a home on North W Street. No injuries have been reported. Fire officials say that while nobody lived at the home, there may have been squatters there at the time of the fire. An arson investigation is currently ongoing. Police reports give some new information into that violent altercation over a parking spot at Maumee Beach last week. According to Channel 3, an incident happened when 18-year-old Victoria Posey stood in a parking spot attempting to reserve that, preventing another vehicle from pulling in. The situation then escalated when the driver got out of her vehicle, leading Posey to allegedly pull her by the hair and force her to the ground. Of course, video of this was seen in that Facebook video that now has had more than 10 million views. During the fight, other women got involved, leading to a bit of a wild melee. Both Posey and 20-year-old Alana Mills have been charged with battery in the case. Now, two people were hurt in a T-bone crash on Highway 29 near International Paper on Friday night. That crash involved two pickup trucks. Right now, there's no word on the extent of the driver's injuries or their current conditions. FHP is currently investigating the cause of that accident. And a young man who reported being abused by a local priest at St. John the Evangelist Private School has now settled his case with the Catholic Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee. The details of that settlement are confidential due to a non-disclosure agreement, but the victim said he was comfortable with the outcome. The victim and his mother said he had been targeted by a priest after transferring schools to escape bullying, although law enforcement confirmed that the statute of limitations had expired for criminal charges in that case. They did file a report to address the impact of the abuse on his life. The victim now is in his 20s and says he's planning to enlist in the military and to attend college. Now, two people are missing after a boating accident in northeast Florida. Eight people were on a boat that capsized Friday in the St. Johns River. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office says four people were found alive. One was found dead. Three people are still missing. One of those three is an adult. Two others are kids. The Sheriff's Office there said that one of those three has now since been found. There's no word on the condition or if it was one of the adult or one of the missing children. Well, a Bay County aquarium is under a bit of scrutiny now. Four dolphins at the Gulf World Marine Park in Panama City Beach have apparently died in the last 6 months. The FWC announced on Saturday that park officials had blocked their inspectors from the dolphin enclosure. The FWC says they have concerns about how the dolphins are being treated. They want to do a wellness check. State Representative Griff Griffiths said yesterday he's concerned about the welfare of the dolphins. He's reaching out to the appropriate state and federal agencies. And it is 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at some wet weather as we go through the morning and the afternoon hours. 80% chance of rain with a high near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58. More sunshine on Tuesday with a high near 76 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Keeping sunshine around on Wednesday with a high near 81 and a low near 56. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 65 degrees around the area. A little bit of a wet start this morning. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line, sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Open the floor for nominations for chair.
Madam President?
Yes.
President
Moria, is that you?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right.
I move to nominate Dr. Scott Yenner for chair.
I second that, Young.
Thank you, Trustee Moria. Trustee Yenner, do you accept the nomination to serve as chair?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
In case you have not been paying attention, which, you know, everybody pays attention to different things, but if you have not been paying attention to the controversy over the UWF Board of Trustees appointments, here's a little bit of a primer. I decided that we'd do a little bit of history on this thing. And yeah, while I was on vacation last week, I did what any normal radio host on vacation does. I listened to all the meetings that exist. I did. I'm driving from here to Nashville and from Nashville to Greenville and from Greenville to Jacksonville and from Jacksonville to Homeville. And I realized last night when I was texting my dad, I'm like, we're home. Oh, all the Villes. We went to all the Villes. Anyway, so because different people that, you know, I'm in my life with, they live in different places. And in that process, because I knew UWF, the short version is I wanted to listen to that town hall they did last week. And I don't really want to call anybody out, but whoever set up the video for the town hall, it's like they were reenacting the grassy knoll to prove that you really can't hear anybody at that distance. It's like in the back of the room, under a chair, and somebody put a sock on the microphone. Like, you cannot hear a thing. And so I'm like, well, that's a bummer. I was wanting to listen to all of the whatever the long explanations of why people were opposed to this Board of Trustees slate we're going to be. Now, I know what people have said, and of course we had, I had one of the organizers of Saved UWF on the show, so I know what their arguments are. And I feel them. I agree with a lot of them. But I thought, well, you know, look, there's been three meetings. There was a meeting on, Thursday, I think. There was a meeting in January. That's the meeting, this one, where they nominated and put Scott Yenner in charge of the thing. And then there was a meeting in between where they did some business. I watched all the meetings without having the ability to watch the Save UWF meeting, unfortunately, because, like I said, the audio quality on the video is terrible. Okay, so in this meeting, this was the first one. This is in January. That was the voice of President Saunders asking for nominations for chairman. When you have this slate of people who had not at the time been approved by the Senate, some since have and some since have not. In fact, some since, including Scott Yenner, has not even been put up for approval. And the first nomination out the gate, and if you don't know the history here, you've got five, I think, by the I'm just checking my numbers here because it was, oh my God, learning the architecture of the Board of Trustees. Thank you for another government assignment, people. But you get the governor gets a certain number. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, let's see. The governor gets five, I think, and then the Board of Governors, which is the whole of the whole state who oversees the university system, they get five. Sorry, he gets six. Then they get five. But if there's, like, the governor gets one, but if there's people already in place, then DeSantis wouldn't get all of them. Then the president of the Faculty Senate gets one, is the one. And then the Student Government Association president is the 13th member. And there had been some that had held over from the previous. There had been a long time where we didn't have a full slate. There were a lot of holes waiting, which has been a common problem for DeSantis. His administration has been plagued by an inability to fill seats on boards, including our own Board of County Commissioners in Escambia County, the ECUA board. It's just, it's been a problem. It's still a problem for him. I don't know why he uniquely, his administration is uniquely bad at this, but they are uniquely bad at this. So we had five holes, and he plugged all five of them with people who aren't from here. Mostly. I mean, everybody's got a little bit different bio. One person is an adjunct at PCC. An adjunct, if you're not familiar, is the lowest grade of instructor. That's right. I taught adjunct for like 10 years in college. So, you know, that was me. I was the highest rated, lowest quality instructor you could ever find. Like, I would get all the top awards for best of, but part-time. But part-time was always funny because they had... I can't tell you so many rules about universities, or so many stories about universities. They had a rule that you couldn't teach more than three classes at the school because they knew that if you taught adjunct, they were taking advantage of you. And the theory was, well, we don't want to take advantage of you so much because you're so cheap when you work adjunct. Just basically like working hourly versus working salary, and you get paid like half of what a professor gets paid. And so the rule was, we'll only pay you three. Well, most adjuncts can make so little adjuncting that they have to work at multiple schools. So what you do is you teach at like three schools, and you teach, you know, three here, two there, one there, and then you're driving all over creation teaching your six classes just to not have your electricity turned off. So that's the life of an adjunct professor. Not the highest prestige thing in the whole wide world. And anyway, in this case, you've got a whole bunch of people that DeSantis put in that have ties to folks like the Claremont Institute and the Heritage Institution. You've heard a lot of this stuff talked about. Scott Yenner is one of them. He's the most controversial because of some of his comments in the past about women particularly. Adam Kissel is a visiting fellow for higher education reform for the Heritage Foundation. Gates Garcia serves on the Catholic University of America Bush School of Business Board of Visitors. He's got an MBA from University of Florida. Paul Bailey is the adjunct from Pensacola Christian College. And then the fifth one is Chris Young, who, as far as I can tell, lives in Panama City, Tallahassee, Mariana, somewhere in that area. He's a lawyer. Then you have the Board of Governors appointees, Rebecca Matthews, Rachel Moya, and Ashley Ross. And I think out of all of those, the only one who lives here is Paul Bailey. And then you have a couple of holdovers from the old board, Dick Baker, Paul Sue, and Susan James is the faculty president, Senate president, and then Alonzi Scott is also on there for a little while. And then I said Maggie. Okay, so there's your board. Anyway, back to the first meeting in January when all of a sudden Martha Saunders asks for nominees. You know, and I don't want to allege, and I don't, conspiracy is a bit of a strong word, collusion. But you're not under sunshine until you get named to a board. Okay, until you know, and people may not realize they're under sunshine when they're only named and not actually confirmed. But you are. Like when you win the primary, if there's no general election opponent, you're under sunshine. As soon as you're going to be the person, you're under sunshine. It struck me a little weird that they were sort of so eager, multiple people, to put up Scott Yenner. Because he's not the one I would have picked off this list. Adam Kissel, if they're going to nominate one of their own, which is weird to begin with. Like, if you show up on a board, John, if there's a board of 13, and you and four other people show up, you and seven other people show up brand new to this board, and they're asking for appointments to be the chair of the board, your first time, you've never been on this board before, you've never even set foot in this city before, and you're going to run the university. Is it by natural habit your thought, oh, yeah, make me chair?
No, it's not. It's learn everything first.
Right. You take a season and get familiar, right? You sit and watch, you know? In fact, there's been a little bit of controversy in the past about new commissioners coming on board and being slated to be the chair because in each county they do it a little bit differently. Brand new commissioner shouldn't be the chair. They don't know anything yet. I mean, they know enough to get elected. They don't know how to run things, okay? So same thing here. If you're brand new to the board, you don't even try to be the chairman. And here, if you listen, you have, and I'm sorry for my voice. I know it's a little weird. I'm getting over a cold. It seems like my body hates vacation. Every time I go on vacation, I get a cold. And I did. I lost my voice like a week ago, just like I did in December. Weirdest thing ever. Never my entire life lost my voice now twice in 4 months. Super weird. Okay.
So, hasn't that taught you a lesson yet?
Don't go on vacation?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
I second that.
Here, listen to this.
All right. I move to nominate Dr. Scott Yenner for chair.
1,000.
I second that, Young.
So three of the four non-Scott Yenner DeSantis appointees are like falling over themselves to nominate Scott Yenner. It felt to me like a plan. Felt to me like a plan. And can the governor have talked to some people and said, hey, I'm going to put you on the board of trustees for the University of West Florida. I want Scott Yenner to be the chair. Before there's sunshine. I mean, sure. I mean, so it seems like they were told to do this because it was weird. Okay, and then some of the holdovers, right, the members who've been there for a little while. This is Alonzi Scott.
Dr. Saunders?
Yes.
It's Alonzi Scott. I move that we nominate Richard Baker for chair.
All right. Thank you, Trustee Scott. Trustee Baker, would you accept the nomination?
If I'm elected, I'd accept it and consider myself basically an interim. As other trustees who are probably much more experienced and so forth get up to speed. But on that condition, I would.
And it's one of these like odd little rules of protocol that weirdly, when you're putting somebody up for the chairmanship of the board, they don't even need a second. So the other people who were so eager to second the nomination didn't even know the rules well enough to know that they didn't need to second the nomination. You follow? It was that kind of level of naivete, ignorance, whatever, unfamiliarity. So Dick Baker, who is a great, okay, capable, long-serving, okay, he's in his second term right now. So he's in 4-year terms, but Dick Baker was 2016 to 2021, or 5-year terms, and now 2021 to 2026. So he'll be on there till next year. Susan James, who's the faculty senate president, is like, yeah, Dick Baker, of course. I mean, why wouldn't it be Dick Baker?
I'm in agreement. With Alonzi, with Trustee Scott, as faculty senate president, I have talked with a lot of faculty members, staff, and stakeholders in our community. I mean, we're very blessed that we have the community that we have. And this is my second year on the board. I've enjoyed every second of working with our amazing board. Trustee Baker has taught me an awful lot about how a board operates. And when you get into fiduciary issues, I need that kind of support where he speaks very concisely and clearly. I think, this would be beneficial to all of us. You know, we're going to have onboarding going on with our new Board of Trustees, and you guys are definitely not slackers. You've got a lot of things going on in your lives and a lot of boards that you sit on as well. I think having Trustee Baker as our chair would be beneficial for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, voice of reason in the community, knows the area, knows the university. He's not brand new to the job. People like him. Duh. Of course he should be the guy. And then one of the voices that kind of jumped out of the nowhere, and I think this was Chris Young. They didn't identify, but it might have been Gates Garcia. Anyway, one of the new people.
No, I'd just like to comment on Trustee Yenner. You know, in my opinion, he's one of the greatest leaders in higher ed. You know, he's a believer in ed reform. He has as decorated a resume as anyone in this space. And sometimes, you know, fresh perspective from the outside or experience from other places is warranted in certain circumstances and provides value that that we might need.
Okay. Well, his bio is he's a political science professor at Boise State University. And by the way, that is how you say that. Honoring visiting graduate faculty at Ashland University, Washington Fellow at the Claremont Institute. That's a conservative think tank. He previously served as a visiting fellow in the American Political Thought for the Heritage Foundation, a fellow for the Foundation of the Defense of Democracies. And he has a bachelor's degree from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and a doctorate degree in political science from Loyola University. That doesn't read to me like the most experienced person in this space. I think he's very smart. But that doesn't read to me like a bio of, you know, the champion world killer of the universe. Also, he's never been to the campus. As far as I can tell, unless I'm wrong, I don't think he's been to Pensacola, been to UWF. He's certainly not a graduate, doesn't know the area at all, which is not automatically a disqualifier from being on the board. You don't have to be. But weird to put somebody like that in charge or even try to put them in charge and then to second them going in charge after the locals are like, bro, no, no, no. So then they go through this whole thing, and, you know, Maggie Brown, the student president, says, no, we should make it Dick Baker. And Alonzi Scott says, we need somebody who's here and knows the community because this is an important, they need, it's a position of trust and, you know, all of that. And even Susan James speaks again. Again, she's not appointed by anybody. She's the president of the Faculty Senate, so she's a teacher at UW, professor at UWF. And then they put her in charge, and then they get a seat on the board. And she says,
I just, you know, you saw that the community members are in support of having either Alonzi or, you know, Trustee Baker. The cloud of controversy that we now have over us, I'm concerned about. I want us all to work together. We have an absolutely amazing university that has excelled in so many ways.
And that's exactly right. And this is kind of what I think a lot of people have said is we have a university that is incredibly good, especially for the, you know, look, University of West Florida is not a known named tier one, you know, school that you see showing up. It's not even a Division I school in athletics. It's not the kind of school that anybody who's not from here grew up ever hearing of. I didn't know the place existed until we lived here. Okay, so what you have is sort of, you know, moderate expectations for what a place in the grand scheme of higher education the University of West Florida occupies. You have moderate expectations. I'm telling you as a guy who taught, adjunct only, okay, you know, don't put me on the board, by the way. Like, bad, I don't think I have the qualifications to be on the board. I mean, maybe now that I've been here 11 years, maybe okay. But, you know, based on, like, just my straight background, I don't think I have it. Like, you wouldn't advocate for me. All I have is I have a master's degree. I mean, that's, I want doctors on that board, you know, if they're going to be. Anyway, so back to, you know, this question of the controversy over him and he's not been from here is just, you just wouldn't think this would happen. And then they vote. And, well, if you now know the history, you know how this went.
Right. We received 8 votes for Trustee Yenner, and we received 5 votes for Trustee Baker.
So basically, all of the new people voted for Yenner, and all of the old people who have been there for more than, you know, a week, they all voted for Dick Baker, which was the right choice. Then they went through the vice chair, and they basically did the same thing. Okay, they basically did the same thing. They picked, and the vote was a little more lopsided. I think it was more like 9-5, if I remember correctly, or 9-4. I think one of the people probably thought in their head, obviously I see what's happening. Let's not create more drama by having a split vote. Maybe I don't. Anyway, so that was January. Now I'm gonna go through the February meeting next hour, and I'm gonna go through the last week's meeting in the 7 o'clock hour. Because I think it's important to know how we got here. But let me give you one thought that I haven't shared yet. And that's this. I watched the speech that Scott Yenner gave that has made all the controversial, you know, this is the horrible thing that he said about, you know, single professional women being medicated, meddlesome, and quarrelsome. He did say that twice. And, you know, we ought to be hiring, or we ought to be recruiting men to be engineers and not women, and we ought to be putting men in. And he did say that. But as is often the case, what I always say about speeches, don't just watch the clips.
Watch the entire thing.
It's a really interesting speech from 2021. I mean, so interesting that I cut like 33 clips from it. I'm not going to get to play them today. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. It's a very interesting speech. I actually understand where he's coming from. And he says a lot of very smart things about what's going on in our culture. Now, you're like, well, Andrew, you can't say that because he hates women. He doesn't hate women. I mean, did you listen to the speech? I did. I know what his viewpoint is. I don't know that I could argue better than he can argue, but I can articulate it pretty well. Most people just know the horrible quotes. And he had a lot of ouch quotes. He had a lot of, don't say it that way. Don't say that. This is bad. But he was speaking to a friendly audience. He was giving a red meat speech about conservatism. Anyway. There's a couple of these trustees that are incredibly capable, even though they're not from here and don't know UWF. My mind is still undecided about Scott Yenner. I'll just be honest. Okay? I don't think this is the catastrophe that everybody thinks it is, but I have the same level of concern that people have precisely because these are folks who are not from here, don't know UWF, don't know the community, and that's weird. It's a hostile takeover that might not wind up being so bad is my general take, okay? But we'll have to talk about that more later on in the show. 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in tomorrow at 10 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, as ProHealth will be the guest. They'll be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program, as well as they are now offering 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds. Find out how ProHealth can help you. Take out the stress from the cost of healthcare tomorrow at 10 with ProHealth on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Will somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way?
So please believe me, my heart is in your hand. I'll be missing you. Cause you know.
All right, I'm going to say this. I probably said it one time or so before on the air. I was such a Styx fan, like this was my band, that I had a Velcro shoe wallet with Styx on the outside. Oh, yeah. Yes. I lie. Uh-oh. No, the shoe wallet was generic. I had a black fold-up Velcro nylon wallet with sticks on it in my pocket. Yeah.
I love the Velcro one better.
Oh, man.
Made for a good story.
Yeah, all right. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Strangely, I don't find that so unbelievable.
words I can't say on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Education Secretary Linda McMahon says federal funding will continue for essential education programs. This is the Trump administration pushes to shut down the Department of Education. McMahon defended the president's executive order to initiate the closure. She says the programs that the department funds will be transferred to other agencies in an effort to make the funding more efficient.
David, thanks so much for the update. We'll talk more about UWF coming up soon and many other things, including the weather we're not quite having yet.
Stream us at